Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. You can also find podcasts of prior shows at that location as well. Today is September 14th, 2016. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 18,034, the NASDAQ up at 5,173, and the S&P down at 2,125. Tonight we're discussing divorce with Stan Corey, author of the book, The Divorce Dance. And of course, we are always taking listeners' questions as well. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Stan Corey is a certified financial planner, a chartered financial consultant, and a certified private wealth advisor. His career in financial services spans over 35 years. As a sought-after expert, Stan regularly provides financial commentary at national conferences, in print, and online publications and on television. He has appeared in USA Today, Working Women, Money, and Good Housekeeping. And he has a website that you can visit at divorcedance.com. Stan, can you hear us?
Your receiver has been off hook for 20 seconds. This Hello? Has caused our equipment to time out.
Oh, we may have to retrieve Stan. I apologize for that. In the meantime, let me mention that Stan's Divorce Dance is a read that you actually get engaged to. It's not just a list of things that you have to do. It's actually engaging. It's written in such a way that it's almost like a book with characters. And he takes you through the process of what happens, the events that occur before someone is faced with the divorce, what is happening possibly in a relationship, and then the ultimate words of, I want a divorce or this isn't working out. And he takes us through the story with characters, Natalie and Jim, and talks about what that process looks like, the emotional roller coaster that they go through, and how they can work with advisors to get through that process a little bit more smoothly. So we are going to retrieve Stan as soon as we are able, and I apologize for that delay. So as I mentioned, the book reads like a story, and it pulls you into this narrative. Again, what I found interesting when I was reading the book was that there's aha moments, because there's so many situations that I'm not considering a divorce, but what folks, general population, might think they understand about maybe a separation or a divorce. And with the way that Stan weaves this story about the two characters, you find that you have aha moments where you say, wow, I hadn't thought of that. So we hope we have Stan back. Stan, can you hear me? Hello, Stan. Stan, do we have you? I apologize for this. So at the beginning of the book, one of the things that Stan mentions is parents with sons and daughters spend less than an hour discussing the divorce with them. So he is a big proponent of, number one, having a respectful divorce. Number two, having children involved in the process so they understand what is happening and what is going to happen to them. And also how important it is that the couple understand the long-term consequences of the settlement agreement as they get to that part of the process, which is sometimes much further down the road. The process of going through a divorce may be something quick, 8 months, and we have seen cases go 3 years. And I'm sure that when we get Stan on, he'll discuss some of the stories that he has had and has seen. The book, again, is The Divorce Dance, and it says, protect your money, manage your emotions, and understand the legal issues. And it's by Stan Corey, who is a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and a certified private wealth advisor. And when we get Stan back on, we're going to talk about the book and in particular why he wrote the book, the personal reasons behind writing the book, but also some of the guidelines in the book of what types of divorce we have. And
hello.
There we go. Stan, hi,
hello.
How are you? Stan,
hello.
Stan, can you hear us?
Hello.
Just a minute. Lori, take
hello.
Him off mute. Okay. Do we have Stan? Hello, Stan. I apologize, folks. We are going to try his cell phone. So when we talk about some of the guidelines in the book, we talk about the five elements of divorce and the different types of divorce proceedings. So the five elements would be the cast of characters who participate in the divorce, the self-determination, and that's kind of an interesting element of this, and I hope that Stan will be able to explain what, in fact, that means, to give us a little bit more definition, because depending on what their self-determination is, could really impact the path that one chooses to go down as far as what kind of divorce proceedings they should choose. Some people would prefer to settle everything between each other. Spouses can kind of put everything to paper, maybe have an attorney review it and decide everything themselves and then be happy with that and think that that's good. Other folks might be... Hello, Stan, are you there?
But as soon as it switches over to the radio show...
Hi.
And I think that
we apologize. Let's go to break, and we're going to figure this out in just a minute. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Okay, Stan, can you hear us? Do we still have Stan on the phone? Hello? Okay, folks, can you play some music for a minute?
Sure.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of handpicked music. We will now return to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. We are going to try to reach Stan one more time. We really apologize for the confusion. If we can't get him on the air, we are going to reschedule and bring him on, because really this book is worth talking about, and we do have lots of questions for him, and it's good information. We are seeing, obviously, more and more people going through a divorce, and the cost of litigation in divorce cases, the cost of, even if it doesn't go to litigation, if it doesn't go to court, the cost with attorneys can escalate if we have parties who are bickering and fighting and bringing in all kinds of emotional baggage into the deliberations of separating marital property, et cetera. So the wonderful thing about this book was that Stan refers to it as the divorce dance, but to have a respectful divorce, to have the children involved, and to make sure that the parties understand the long-term consequences of the settlement agreement. And that's all in hopes that it will go smoothly, save costs, save money, and that the parties after the split are satisfied and can continue on to have a respectful relationship, in particular when children are involved. So we apologize for the confusion tonight, folks. If we don't get Stan back on the line, we will reschedule him for another week. Now, as far as, let me talk about some other issues until we get that resolved, and that would be, last week we were talking about required minimum distributions and retirement accounts. I want to mention that it is coming up to year end. If you are someone who turned age 70 and a half this year, you will want to make sure that you review your retirement account balances to determine if you should take your required minimum distribution this year. If you are 70 and a half, the rule is you have until April 1st of the year following the year you turn age 70 and a half. So if you miss it and you forget it, you still have a little bit of a window. But what ends up happening if you wait until April 1st of the year following, then you end up having to make two distributions, and that could throw you into a different tax bracket or cause a problem. So generally, you want to calculate what your required minimum distribution amount is, and if it makes sense for you to take it this year, in the year you turn age 70 and a half, then you avoid the double distribution next year. So you want to think about that. But don't forget to do it, because there's a 50% penalty if you fail to do that. Okay. Do we have Stan on the phone?
Came back earlier.
Hello.
Maybe you'll come back again.
Dan, can you hear us?
Now push the mute button, Lori.
Okay, do we have Stan on the phone? Hello, Stan. Okay, we really
I give a monologue. You just can't get together.
Okay. So we're going to work on rescheduling him, and I apologize. So we are going to switch our topic and talk about just some items that you have to worry about for year end. So one of those would be if you are I'm losing my mic. If you are 70 and a half, that you have to take your required minimum distribution before year end, make sure you calculate what that amount is and that you have the proper withholdings on that. Required minimum distributions are not taxable for Pennsylvania, but they are for federal. So you do want to calculate what you expect your estimated tax to be. And you can have that withheld from your required minimum distribution. Of course, if you are age 70 and a half already, or turn 70 and a half this year, in lieu of taking your required minimum distribution, you can make a qualified charitable distribution to charity. So you would contact the custodian where your IRA is and ask them to make the payment directly to charity. You can do that in the amount of your required minimum distribution, some lower amount, or up to $100,000. So the required minimum distribution should be taken this year. We're going to try this one more time. Okay. Do we have Stan?
The buzz.
Stan, can you hear me?
It makes a buzz.
Okay. We can't... Okay. So what other items we have to take care of before year end? We want to make sure that if we didn't have proper withholdings for the year on our other income that we've earned, that we either make up the tax due through withholdings or we have quarterly estimated tax payments made. So if you forget to do your qualified charitable or your required minimum distribution, and you forget to take withholdings on it, and all of a sudden something happens in your life and you have a bunch of other income, if you didn't have withholdings, you might need to do a quarterly estimated tax payment. And those are due tomorrow. The third quarter payment is due tomorrow. And then the fourth quarter is due in January. And so what I sometimes will have people do is we'll make the three quarters of payments, the first, second, and third, and then we'll review all of the income for the year to see if we're still on target and expect that amount of estimated tax payments to be made. So let's say you're someone who thinks you're going to owe $4,000, maybe you're self-employed, or you have interest in dividend income and you have no other means to do federal tax withholdings, so you do a quarterly payment of $1,000 a quarter. Well, by the end of the year, you find out, hey, I didn't have the capital gains like I typically do each year. So my tax isn't going to be $4,000 this year. It's only going to be $3,000. Then you can adjust the fourth quarter and either not do it or adjust it, make it a little smaller. The same thing applies if you find out you're going to owe a lot more money. If you didn't have a safe harbor, you can always up your fourth quarter payment. Or if you are someone who has withholdings either through retirement accounts, pensions, Social Security, or wages, and you think you're going to be short on your taxes, you can increase your withholdings before year end. The IRS deems withholdings to be made evenly throughout the year. So sometimes what happens if you think you're going to be in a penalty situation because you didn't pay enough income to or didn't make your estimated tax payments timely, you can make up for it by doing withholdings. And then the IRS deems those withholdings to be made evenly throughout the year. Let me go back to the qualified charitable distribution for a minute. I have had people say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do the qualified charitable distribution. Can I wait till the end of the year to decide how much I want to do? So let's pretend your required minimum distribution is $10,000 and you normally give $4,000 to your church. But you're not sure you're going to be able to do that. You might have some other expenses coming up and you want to wait. Well, one of the things you could do is get the form ready, let your custodian know. You might pull the trigger on this so that you're not doing it at the last second. Because if you wait until December 31st to make that decision, it might be too late. So you want to make sure that you're kind of putting all your ducks in a row for withholdings and qualified charitable distributions to make sure you get that done before year end. All right. So we are going to our next break. When we come back, we'll talk about things to do before year end. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And you are back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are live in the studio, and I'm going to check if I have a caller on the line. Do we have a caller on the line? Okay. Folks, we are have preempted our scheduled programming, which was an interview with Stan Corey, the author of The Divorce Dance. We checked line one. And we are having some technical difficulties, so I apologize. So we are hoping to reschedule Stan for a later time where we can work this out. If you have questions, we can try calling into the studio tonight. We're going to test this out, 610-758-8810. If we can get people on air to ask questions. If you have anything you would like to ask in general, I love listeners' questions. If we can get you through, we're going to certainly try that. If not, I'm just going to talk about some things to do before year end, and that is double check if you have required minimum distributions to take. Number two, if you have estimated tax payments to make, your quarterlies are due tomorrow. Your third quarter estimated tax payment is due tomorrow, so you want to review that. If you're someone who has not made quarterly estimated tax payments, but you know you're going to owe a boatload of money and you don't have a safe harbor estimate or tax paid in, you can increase your withholdings. You have plenty of time through the end of the year to do that. Another item you want to review before year end is, where are you with your employer contributions to your retirement accounts if you are employed? So folks who are employed and have employer retirement plans, such as 401ks or 403bs, where are you with your withholding? The maximum amount for an employee for 2016 is $18,000. If you're over age 50, you can do another $6,000. What you want to check is, if you're over 50, and let's pretend you put in, you know, 20% of your pay and you make $100,000, 20% of your pay would be $20,000. And you say, I'm over 50, it's 18 plus 6. Lori told me I could do 24. If I do 20% of my $100,000, that's $20,000. But on your pay stub, it says 401k contributions, $18,000. What's with that? Well, folks, when you are over 50 and you have an elective contribution, it's typically an additional form you have to fill out or an extra step you have to go through if you do this all online. to have the elective catch-up contribution taken from your pay. So you want to look at that. Another caution for folks who try to max out their 401k early in the year, if you have a matching contribution from the employer and you max out too early, you may not get the full match throughout the year. So you want to sometimes feather that out through the 12 months to make sure that you're getting the full employer match. All right, so something to check. Where are you with your employee contributions? If you have cash flow, adequate cash flow, and the capability to contribute more to your retirement account, and you haven't done as much as you could, now is the time to see if you can up your contribution. Sometimes you can do that with a percentage of income, or you can do a dollar amount. So let's pretend you get paid monthly, and your next paycheck's October 1st, November 1st, December 1st. You have 3 months left, and you realize you could put in a lot more, and maybe you got a windfall and you have cash in the bank that's going to help you with your other cash flow, and you want to manage your taxes a little bit. You could tell the employer $1,000 more a paycheck, so they might take a particular percent plus an additional $1,000, or you could just up the percentage. So you want to review that before the end of the year. If you are someone who doesn't have an employer plan, but you have some excess cash laying around, accumulate that and consider opening up an IRA account or a Roth account. Typically, for people who are in higher tax brackets, we like to look for tax deductions, and a traditional IRA will give you that tax deduction. It's on page one, and you can subtract it from page one, and you can do $5,000 regularly and an extra $1,000 if you're over age 50. So you can do up to $6,000, and you have until April 15th of the next year to do that. So sometimes what I'll do is tell folks, if you're kind of on the borderline whether or not you'd qualify for an IRA, sometimes people who have employer plans can also qualify for a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, but there's income limitations. Maybe we don't know what your income is going to be. Maybe you're on the fence. So we might tell you to set the money aside, let's get the taxes done, and then up until April 15th, you can decide to fund the IRA or the Roth IRA. So the traditional IRA gives you a deduction. The Roth IRA is no deduction, but it is tax-free growth and earnings. All right? So that is something to think about. We've talked about the employer plan, doing some catch-up. Review that before year end. If you can do more, go for it. And again, that's, of course, coordinating all the other elements of financial planning to make sure you have cash flow available to do that. If you don't have an employer plan, what might you do to get yourself set up for an IRA or a Roth IRA so that you can have the funds and the ability to do that by April 15th of the year following? This is also a good time of year to look for maybe children. Your kids who are working, they have summer jobs, and you like to promote them working and saving money. If, for example, they had a summer job and maybe earned $3,000 and they would be in a 0% tax bracket, it might be a great way for them to take that $3,000 and throw it into a Roth IRA as well. And again, you do have until April 15th of the year following, but it's sometimes a good idea to kind of start putting this on your radar and your plate now so that you get it ready, set up, so you're not doing things at the last minute. You're being proactive and trying to make positive decisions about your financial choices now. So those are some of the things we would want to do before year end. One of the things that we're going to have coming up typically for most employers in October, November, you start to see open enrollment periods. Open enrollment is the time of year for employees to review their benefits. Typically, that might include health care benefits, retirement plan benefits, life insurance, short-term disability, long-term disability, group life insurance. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute when we come back. So we're coming up on our break. We thank you, listeners, for staying tuned to us despite our change in topic tonight. And we hope to reschedule Stan Corey from the Divorce Dance. When we come back, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about some items to take care of before the end of the year, what you need to pay attention to. We've looked at or reminded folks about their required minimum distributions. If you're age 70 and a half, some options you have with that in donating your required minimum distribution or some part of it or up to $100,000 to a charity. And you do that by letting the custodian know who you want that check payable to. That's called a qualified charitable distribution. That's particularly helpful for folks who use a standard deduction and don't otherwise itemize. It's a great tax-saving technique. So think about that. We've talked about estimated tax payments or increasing your withholdings to make sure your taxes are covered for the current year, 2016. And a reminder that estimated tax payments are the third quarter is due tomorrow. That's September 15th. So if you have not already sent that in or you forgot all about it, pull it out of the cupboard or the cabinet or the folder and make sure you get your quarterly payments in. Sometimes folks have to do those for both fed, state, and even thirdly for local. You want to make sure you take care of that. Sometimes people will only have one or the other or one of the three. Self-employed people quite often will have estimated tax payments to make, and that's typically because we also have to pay the Social Security tax on our earnings when we're self-employed. So that's where I most often see estimated tax payments. We also see it for folks who have large investment income. Let's check your records year-to-date to see if you've had any big long-term capital gains. You want to make sure if you have some big gains, even if you have a safe harbor, meaning you've paid in at least as much as you owed in the prior year, but you're going to have a big tax bill in April, it's sometimes a good idea to review that just so you're ready. Or is there anything else you can do before year end to mitigate those extra taxes? If you had a big taxable gain, might there be some losses that you could harvest in your investment accounts to kind of offset those big gains on investments? So you want to look at that. Back to talking about open enrollment. This is the time of the year where companies will gather folks or send you a package in the mail, or I expect sometimes in your email probably these days, which will kind of list the benefits that you're currently getting. And maybe it will name your spouse, your children, who's covered on your health insurance, who do you have life insurance for? Because sometimes when you're an employee, you'll have your own life insurance, a group policy through work. Sometimes you have the ability to buy life insurance on your spouse. Sometimes you can buy disability for your spouse, disability for yourself. So this is the time of year when you will have hopefully a benefits booklet confirming what benefits you currently have. And to the extent you don't update it or, review it, then sometimes all the benefits that you currently have will default to what you have already signed up for. For example, if you put 10% of your wages into your 401k and you never update that, they're just going to keep doing the 10%. If you buy life insurance for your spouse, maybe your employer offers group life insurance for spouses, maybe $10,000, and you have to pay, $10 for it. If you had signed up for that at some point in your past, quite often those elections that you've made will just continue to roll forward unless you change them. That's why it's so important that you review your benefits booklet if they provide that to you in some fashion, paper, electronic. Review it, see if it still makes sense for you. That's also a good trigger for folks and reminder for folks to go into any retirement plans that they may have at work to check your investment allocation. Does it still make sense? When you started at the company 30 years ago and you were young and you were an upstart and you were really aggressive and you had a long time before retirement, you may have chosen one investment allocation. Now it's 30 years later, you never reviewed it, you never checked it. Use this time of year when you get the enrollment verifications of your benefits to remind you to go in and look at your retirement accounts and review those allocations, maybe rebalance if you've never done that. Check to see if you're still that aggressive person or if you're really more conservative now. How far are you away from retirement? So this is the reminder that once a year at least you want to review that, check your asset allocation, etc. So that is open enrollment. What else is in the investment allocation, asset allocation isn't in the enrollment. That's your reminder to do it. That's just kind of, you've got to give yourself easy ways to remember to do things, triggers to take care of your financial choices. What else might be on that enrollment application? You may have an option to change your health insurance plan. You want to make sure you investigate that, see if the current plan is still working for you. Have you had any changes in your health care or your health needs that you might want to think about whether or not you should go with a different plan? Sometimes we find employers might add something called a high deductible plan. They might marry that with something called a health savings account. That is worthwhile to explore, investigate, and see if it would be applicable for you or if it would make sense for you. Sometimes what happens with high deductible plans and health savings accounts is the employer may say, we'll put $2,000 into the health savings account for your benefit. The employee typically has an opportunity to also put money into that health savings account. You may or may not have the financial means to do that. The idea is you build up money and reserves in that health savings account for medical expenses. And at such time you incur medical expenses, then you retrieve the money out of the health savings account to use for those costs. What happens though, those plans are high deductible. So you also have to make sure that if you have the money to kind of start funding it, but that if you don't have the money to fund it, are you going to have the money to support the high deductible? Usually the high deductible plans will have lower premiums. So I'm not an insurance person, but it's certainly worth a conversation with your HR people if you are now afforded these options and choices, and depending on your own circumstances, what might work for you ongoing and for the future. For folks who have health insurance where they have family coverage and you may have adult children can be carried on family insurance up to age 26 if they don't otherwise have health insurance provided to them through an employer. And your children even can be married. So, for example, our oldest has been married for a few years now. I saw no reason for her to go on her spouse's plan if they had to pay extra when we were already paying for a family plan. So our daughter, who was married under age 26, continued to stay on our family plan. But once they reach age 26, they have to make other arrangements. So if you have children who are turning 26 this year, typically what happens is they're covered through the month of their age 26. So our daughter was covered through August. We were alerted by the insurance company, and we knew that, well, we knew she was going to be 26 anyway, but the alert is nice as well. We said, Sally, you're going to be 26. What are you doing about your health insurance options? And of course, her husband contacted his HR people at his work, and they added Sally to the plan that he has now. So be watchful for folks who have children who are under age 26 who continue to be on a family plan. That will be something that you want to make sure they're watching out for. If they don't have access to another insurance plan through work or through a spouse, that's the time when they need to go on the marketplace and investigate what type of health insurance plan might work for them. They can explore. There's different levels of plans, different kinds of plans. Depending on how much money they earn, there may be what we call premium tax credits available to them, depending on how much money they make. If they're under certain income thresholds, there may be a premium tax credit, which they could either take in advance against their current health insurance premiums through the marketplace, or they could get the premium tax credits at tax time when they file their tax return. Here's the little hiccup that I see happening. Folks will go on the marketplace and apply for health insurance and say, yeah, my income is basically nothing. Maybe they're making nothing at the time. And then all of a sudden, they forget about that. They're paying, you know, the premium less the premium tax credit for their health insurance. They get this in advance. And then they forget that, oops, they got, they sold something, they had a huge gain, or they took their pension, something that impacted their income such that their income went above the thresholds qualifying for the premium tax credits. Now when they go to file their tax return, boom, they have to pay back the premium tax credits. That could be a big surprise. You want to make sure that you factor that in when you're kind of looking at your year-end planning to plan for that. The other important element that I want to remind people about before year-end is if for some reason you no longer have health insurance and you haven't gone on the marketplace to research it and obtain health insurance, when you go to file your tax return, you may have penalties for not having health insurance. So there are limits on how much that's going to cost you, but we can't assume that you always have health insurance. I just had a tax return I worked on for someone, and we found out that she did not have coverage since, I believe, like July, since June. So for 6 months, she didn't have coverage, and the penalty ended up being about $1,200. It's something to the equivalent of the cost of a bronze plan, so or the in-between, the silver plan, possibly. So you want to be careful because you certainly don't want to have penalties. And a lot of folks don't realize that the first year where we had the Affordable Care Act and you didn't have health insurance coverage, there were penalties if you didn't have it. But those penalties are increasing each year. They go up. It's part of a kind of sharing program, share the pain of the healthcare costs. So if you aren't sharing, then you're going to be penalized. It's kind of the the idea of group insurance. When there's group insurance, the cost of insurance comes down. This is why we don't pay so much money for things like auto insurance and homeowners insurance, because it's that group mentality where we all kind of pay for this risk that may not ever happen, and that reduces our cost overall. So that's the same idea with this healthcare. And if you're not participating, then you get a little penalty. So watch out for that. And if you don't have coverage, it's not too late. I think you can still go on and get it. Folks, we're at our last break. When we come back, we'll finish up and with more of your financial choices. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we had a change in schedule this evening. We are talking about items to pay attention to before year end, some of the things to button up the hatches, so to speak, in your financial life, making sure you're covered with taxes and healthcare options and your open enrollment, your required minimum distributions. I do want to add an item about required minimum distributions, but I want to take a moment to also remind folks who may have been tuning in to listen to our interview with Stan Corey, who is the author of The Divorce Dance. We are going to reschedule him, and we apologize for not being able to get him on the line tonight. So we will hope to reschedule him. If you aren't able to catch that, you certainly can go to Stan's website, which is divorcedance.com, and that is the name of his book, The Divorce Dance. You could also just Google that information, The Divorce Dance, Stan Corey, and the book, I believe, is available on Amazon.com, or there is a way to get the book on that website, the divorcedance.com. So that book covers, I believe, some great strategies in having, as Stan describes, a respectful divorce. I think that should be the goal that folks have, to make it easier for both parties. I am a Pollyanna for anybody who regularly listens, and I'm telling you, it's better to go through this in a positive way than a negative way, and a combative way, better for both parties. And especially if there's children, you really want to make sure that your children understand what's going on. And what I like to try to say to folks who I'm helping through this is that you want to demonstrate to your children that you can face conflict and resolve it respectfully and problem solve. It's a great way to demonstrate to the children that, yes, there are some issues. We're going to work through them. We're going to face them. We're going to get through it in the most positive way possible. And it's about being a good example for the children when they're involved as well, and to respect each other, of course, through the process, because as we know, our children are parts of both of us. So we want to make sure that that goes through. Okay. All right, folks. So that is Stan Corey with The Divorce Dance, and we will hopefully catch him for another show. But in the meantime, you can visit his website. So In lieu of that, we are talking about some items to take care of before year end, because we are already at mid-September, September 15th. It is crazy how fast time is going. So here are the reminders to make sure you do required minimum distributions for folks who are 70 and a half. And then a special reminder for folks who are beneficiaries of IRAs or 401ks. You may not be used to this. If you're a beneficiary, in your mind, you might think, well, retirement accounts, I know that there's this rule when you turn age 70 and a half that you have to take a required minimum distribution. Well, for folks who are beneficiaries of IRAs or 401ks or 403bs, retirement accounts, when you are a beneficiary of those types of accounts, you need to start the required minimum distribution by December 31st of the year following the year of death. So if mom or dad passed away in 2015 and you inherited some portion or all of their IRA or retirement account, you need to make sure you take the required minimum distribution by December 31st of this year if they died last year. And in fact, you want to be careful if you have a loved one who has died this year. You need, and you're the beneficiary of their account, you need to make sure they took their required minimum distribution before they died. So if someone died on January 1st of 2016 and they were over age 70 and a half taking required minimum distributions and they pass away and they never had a chance to take their required minimum distribution this year, you as the beneficiary have to take their required minimum distribution. So let's pretend Dad died and his required minimum distribution was $10,000 a year and his account was, I'm going to make this up, $100,000, and he was supposed to take $10,000 out this year because he was over age 70 and a half. If he did not make that distribution yet, you as the beneficiary are going to have to take that out. So how does that work? Well, what happens if you're named the beneficiary, what you would have to do is typically what, and this is a general answer, every person's situation is different, but what I would expect to see is that you would go to the custodian, you say, give them a death certificate, I'm the beneficiary of the IRA, they do a trustee-to-trustee transfer to a beneficiary IRA, or they just move the IRA into a beneficiary IRA. So now it's Dad's IRA for benefit of me. And then because Dad didn't take out his required minimum distribution, I have to take out that 10. That's going to be taxable to me. But remember, I said you don't have to take out your beneficiary amount until December 31st of the year following the year of death. Well, Dad died in 2016. I don't have to take mine out until 2017. But if Dad didn't take his, I'm going to have to take his. So I have that $10,000. Now, next year, my required minimum distribution will be based on the value of the account at December 31st of 2016 and my life expectancy. My life expectancy might be 30 years. So now it's $90,000 in my account divided by 30 years, my required minimum distribution will only be $3,000. The wonderful thing about a beneficiary IRA is that's just the minimum I have to take. I can actually take out more if I want. So sometimes if my cash flow needs require it and my tax bracket is low, I might take out more than that. You want to explore that, revisit it every year. My biggest fear is when folks take out the distribution completely. Oh, I don't want to bother with this, or I don't know, or this is Dad's. We've already paid the inheritance tax on it. I don't think I'm going to owe anything. And I take a distribution of $100,000. Well, if I add $100,000 onto my tax return this year and I'm already making $100,000, now I have a $200,000, you know, taxable income possibly. And now I've just thrown myself up into higher tax brackets. So you want to be very, very careful about taking distributions out of beneficiary IRAs. All right. Then there's special rules if you're the beneficiary of a beneficiary IRA. So that's another whole show and another whole story. But just be aware if you are a beneficiary of an IRA, you have required minimum distributions as well. You want to make sure you get those out timely. Because, folks, there is a 50% penalty on failure to take out that required minimum distribution. Many people don't realize that a required minimum distribution also applies to Roth IRAs if you're a beneficiary of a Roth IRA. So the gist is, when I'm alive and I have a Roth IRA and it's my Roth IRA, I never have a required minimum distribution. That's wonderful. But when I die and pass it on to my spouse, they can have two choices. One, they can make the Roth IRA or even an IRA their own and continue to hold it as their own with no required minimum distributions in the case of a Roth IRA. But if instead I pass it on to my children, maybe my spouse has predeceased me and I pass it on to my children, they will have required minimum distributions at that time. So Roth IRAs, if I'm the owner, I do not have required minimum distributions. If I'm the beneficiary, there are required minimum distributions. All right? So you want to watch out for those types of things. Other items to pay attention to before year end, I'm just going to give you a plug here for estate planning for folks who have not done their estate planning. It's always a good time to make sure you have documents written up. If you don't, if you haven't seen an attorney, schedule that appointment now. Get that taken care of. Get your documents updated if you haven't looked at them in a long time. There have been new rules, new provisions for powers of attorney in Pennsylvania. You want to just check with your attorney. Is there anything that needs to be updated? Are your kids older now? Maybe you had Uncle Frank being the guardian and the executor, and your kids are all now 30 years old. It might be a time to update because maybe you trust your children enough to be the executor instead of Uncle Frank, or Uncle Frank is at 90 years old and has dementia. You want to review those documents. So why not take this time before year end to make sure that you're doing the proper estate planning. Recall that I also mentioned about the open enrollment package, and sometimes your employer will give you a printout of your current benefits and elections. Sometimes what you'll see in that package is your beneficiary designations on your retirement account. Sometimes that's in there. If it's not in there, then this is also the time of year to go and review that. Perhaps you have online access at the custodian where your 401k is held, and you can go on and review who your beneficiaries are of your retirement accounts. Typically, you might see that in a 401k. Sometimes the employer retains that information. And if they don't provide that to you annually, you can certainly ask, hey, who do I have as my beneficiaries? Do I have contingent beneficiaries? I would like to remind everyone, if you don't have contingent beneficiaries, that is certainly something you should review, because you may have your spouse as the primary with no contingents. And in the event you're in a tragic accident with your spouse and you don't have contingents and maybe you have children, you're not sure where that money is going to end up. Sometimes custodians have default beneficiaries. They may be your young children, and you may not want it to go to your young children. You might want it to go into a trust for those children. Maybe you have a child with special needs that you wouldn't want that money to go to. So this is the time of year to also check your contingent beneficiaries if you have not updated those recently, if you've not reviewed them. And let me remind folks, you will think you know. You will think you know your beneficiary designations, your primary designations, and your contingent. You'd be surprised how often folks do not have contingent beneficiaries listed. I like to avoid default beneficiaries, so you might as well name those contingents while it's in front of you, and it's a great time to review it. Folks, it has been an interesting evening. We hope that you will tune back into us next week. Next week, I am going to talk about itemizing deductions on your tax return. When is it time to revisit that, and what can you deduct? A lot of times people will have questions, what medical expenses I can deduct and what mortgage interest can I deduct? Because sometimes there's mortgage interest that you may not be able to, and that would surprise you. So we are going to talk about itemizing deductions. And for folks who use the standard deduction, there may be times when you need to revisit that as well. I want to thank Jeff for being here tonight, running the board, and Lori. And I want to apologize to Stan Corey. Hopefully we'll connect and get you on at another time. We have coming up Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.